mindfulness, awareness, the difference using those terms, and the difference between mindfulness and attention. I'm going to approach this by connecting to the topic of seeing, looking, hearing, and listening. There were several questions about the seeing, looking, hearing, listening piece. So the experience of the shift between seeing and looking, the shift between hearing and listening, is really connected to the shift of attention. We could say it's not necessarily exactly right, but that seeing is kind of a receptive experience, kind of seeing or taking in a larger landscape, taking in the broader terrain, not focusing on anything, that it's a little more receptive. The attention isn't directing to the experience. And that looking is more active, the attention being directed to some experience. And so the exploration around seeing, looking, hearing, and listening is kind of a beginning to explore this factor of attention, how attention works, how the attention shifts from experience to experience. And this is an important piece in this practice, getting familiar with the quality of the shift of attention. I think in our meditation practice, when the attention shifts, this is often a place where mindfulness wanders. It's like the attention shifts and we haven't really noticed that it shifted. And that's where the mindfulness will wander. And so as we can start being aware that the attention is shifting from experience to experience, this can be a support for having a continuity of mindfulness, to notice the attention shifting from experience to experience. And so the practice with seeing, looking, or looking to looking, begins to familiarize us with this aspect of experience, with the attention, with the aspect of attention. Attention and awareness are two different things. There was a question about using mindfulness and awareness synonymously. Isn't that losing a distinction between attention and awareness? Well, for me, I think this is a language issue, how we're using language. For me, attention is definitely a function of mind that's really important to understand. And it's a different function of mind than mindfulness. Mindfulness, I think of mindfulness sati, the Pali word for sati, which I like to translate as awareness, is that capacity of mind that is kind of self-reflective. It knows experience in the present moment. It's just that quality of knowing the experience in the present moment. Attention is the mind kind of connecting to some particular experience. The Pali word manasikara is what's translated often as attention. So these are the Buddhist teachings understand sati and manasikara as different things. Attention being kind of the specific picking up on the qualities of experience, perhaps, and the awareness just being that we're aware. It's hard to use language to distinguish between these, but there's an example that can help us to understand that awareness and attention are different things, because we all know that, and I'll give an example in a moment, how we all know this. We all know that we can be paying attention without being mindful. Attention can be happening, and we can be completely not aware of our experience in the present moment. So for example, when we're driving, how many times have we, you know, driven or, you know, walked down a street, been completely lost in thought, not not aware of what's happening in the present moment. But we find ourselves having stopped at a stoplight. Something was paying attention. Some function of our mind was attending to experience. Noticing that there was a red light. Noticing that I needed to stop. That function of attention and meeting experience, perception, the mind meeting sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, what's going on in the mind, that can go on without awareness being there. And does go on without awareness being there all the time. So attention functions without awareness. So we can know from that example that they are different. When we are aware, it gets a little more confusing, the difference between attention and awareness, when we are aware, because when we're aware, we are aware of what the attention is connected to. So that's what the, when we become aware, we are aware, it's like we wake up into what the attention is connected to. But it's a different function. The function of mind that kind of wakes up, the light goes on, there's the sense of knowing that we are here in the present moment. That's the awareness. And then the attention is a different piece of the processes that happen in our mind. There's another interesting fact piece about attention that's also really useful to understand in terms of this kind of practice. Attention is amenable to conscious choice. We can choose in a moment to say, for instance, okay, I'm going to pay attention to pick something, my hands right now. So there can be a conscious activity of choosing where the attention will go. If we're not consciously choosing where the attention will go, our conditioning is choosing where the attention will go. So we can be relaxed. We don't have to choose where the attention goes. And yet the attention will be going somewhere. So this is another interesting piece to see around the shift between seeing and looking. Because often, as I said earlier, we're not consciously choosing to shift the attention there. It happens because of conditions. It happens because there's a very strong maybe connected to survival instinct to, or survival patterns. I wouldn't necessarily say instinct, but survival patterns to attend to movement or attend to a shift of color or form. Something different in our field of experience will draw the attention without our consciously having to choose to pay attention to it. So our attention will shift based on causes and conditions. And one of the causes and conditions that also can shift the attention is a conscious intention to pick something. And this use of conscious intention is one of the ways that many meditation practices work. We consciously pick an experience, such as the breath, and attend to it. This practice, I would say, maybe one of the ways to describe the difference with this practice is we let go of consciously picking an object to attend to. We let go of that and watch what the mind is doing. We're essentially watching the conditioning unfold here. We're watching where the attention wants to shift to. And there are times in this practice when we find that whatever the attention gets pulled to or shifted to is too strongly evocative of reactivity. And so we may have to choose or at times recognize that where the attention is naturally drawn is not a helpful experience because the reactivity may get out of control. And so at that point in our practice, we can choose to use this method of, or use this gift that we have to pick something else to attend to, pick something neutral perhaps, shift the attention away from what's, you know, so connected with the reactivity and turning towards something more neutral so that the mind can settle. So I'll talk more about working with difficulty in probably sometime tomorrow, but I'm just wanting to highlight that distinction between awareness and attention and how in this practice we're not trying to control attention most of the time. We're exploring the possibility of being aware of watching attention. And I still use mindfulness and awareness synonymously. I don't think of mindfulness as being connected to attention necessarily. I mean, it is, as awareness is also, you know, it's like with awareness, there's something that awareness is aware of. There's something that awareness is connected to. There's something that mindfulness is connected to. We're not necessarily doing it, but there will be something that mindfulness is connected to, awareness is connected to. Now, one of the other kind of often confusions around the word awareness is many teachers will use the word awareness to mean the basic knowing quality of experience that's always happening, always, always happening in our experience, the vijnana, the consciousness, the knowing quality of mind. And so I just like to define, this is how I'm using awareness. And I usually use knowing for that vijnana or that consciousness function of mind, that bare kind of quality of knowing that happens even if we're not mindful, like when we're driving down the road and completely lost in thought, knowing is happening, like attention is happening and perception is happening, even though we're not aware in that moment, even though we're not mindful in that moment, we're completely lost in thought, and yet the knowing of the sense experience, the knowing of the seeing of the red light and stopping happens, even if we're not mindful, not aware. So consciousness, the feeling, perception, mental formations all happen with or without mindfulness, with or without what I call awareness. So another piece I wanted to just bring in around the attitude before opening it to questions in the room. There were a couple more questions in the, I've kind of responded to several of the questions from the, that were submitted indirectly for some of them. But a couple of points about attitude. So one question was, the terms attitude and relationship to experience, I'm using those synonymously as well. So there's no difference there. It's just different language sometimes resonates for people differently. Attitude sometimes for people feels great. It's like, oh yeah, it's just an attitude. It's kind of just a sense of what's happening. And for some people, attitude has a little bit of a spin to it, you know, like having an attitude about something, and it's kind of got a connotation. And so I like to offer different language for these because certain language may resonate more for one person than another. So relationship to experience is also that same kind of thing. Sometimes I say, how are you with experience? That same thing. So there's what's happening and how you are in relationship to it. So no particular difference between attitude and relationship. And then one other piece I'll point out about attitude The way I talked about it so far is there's something happening and then there's a relationship to it. And this is often true. What's going on in experience, the sights, the sounds, the body sensations, the moods, the thoughts, the ideas, all of what's emotions going on in the mind, all of that can be the what of experience. All of it can be the what of experience. What of experience is not just body experience, it's body and mind. And there can be a relationship to what's happening in the body and mind. So maybe, for instance, there's an emotion, anger's arising. And we know that anger's arising. So that's the what of experience. And then there's a relationship to that, a history that has been shaped over many years of self-justification and self-righteousness, and maybe that flavor in the back of the mind that's not really clearly seen. There's that sense of anger happening and the attitude, I'm right. So that may be the attitude that's not seen. So the attitude is more, just kind of what exposing what may be kind of hidden from us. It may be the how we're attending to experience, how we're the filter we're seeing experience through without seeing it. It's giving us an opportunity to recognize those filters that we might be seeing experience through. As soon as we see an attitude, as soon as we notice, oh, there's that anger and a feeling that I'm right. That's what's happening, is there's the I'm right, that feeling of, yeah, me being right, that's in the mix. That then just becomes another part of the what is happening. So there's nothing special about attitude, except that it's kind of something, when it's an attitude, it's hidden from us. When we notice the attitude, it becomes just a part of the what of experience. So the attitude can be around, the experience that we're having, the body sensations, the sights, the sounds, the smells, all of that. And the attitude can also be connected to mental phenomena such as agendas in meditation. This is a lot of where we might find ourselves struggling in meditation. We have a particular agenda in meditation. We think, sleepiness, for example. Many of us have agendas around sleepiness, that we shouldn't have sleepiness in our meditation, something like that. Or that I can't be mindful while I'm sleepy. So the sleepiness happens, and the frustration is not so much around the there may be an attitude of frustration with sleepiness, but it's not maybe so much around the sleepiness itself. It's around the agenda that the sleepiness shouldn't be happening because I'm meditating. And so it's interesting, or can be useful, to recognize if the relationship to experience is more connected to an agenda I have about the meditation, or is it connected to the actual experience that I'm having? That's just an offering. Just kind of see if there's agendas potentially in the meditation that may influence or affect how you're relating to experience.